let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus, keep the drive. No slow motion, I'm alive. Power surging, can't deny. I'm unstoppable, touch the sky. Level up, yeah, this is the fight. Feel the rush, can't kill the stride. Eyes ahead, I'm moving strong. This is the anthem, let's sing along. Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show, the show where we explore the seven pillars of abundance so you can go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today's guest is a true trailblazer. Judge Marilyn Zayas made history as the first person of Latino heritage to be elected to the Court of Appeals in the Midwest, and she is now one of Ohio's most experienced appellate judges. Her remarkable journey began in a working class neighborhood outside of Harlem, where she learned the values of hard work, perseverance, and being of service from her Puerto Rican parents. Throughout her career, Judge Zayas has been committed to making the justice system more accessible, mentoring future leaders, and opening doors for generations to come. Her extraordinary work has earned her recognition as the 2024 National Hispanic Bar Association Judge of the Year and a place on Good Morning America's inspiration list, including countless other honors that we don't have time to go into today. Today, we're talking about resilience, leadership, purpose, and what it really takes to rise above your circumstances and create a lasting impact. Welcome to the show, Judge Marilyn Zayas.
It's such an honor to be here. I'm so thrilled. I'm thrilled to spend this time with you, Rebecca, and with the listeners.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And you're a fan of the show. I know you've been listening, right?
I know. You have an amazing, I love your guests. I love your format. I love what you stand for. You just do. Just being here makes me smile. Just having this conversation with you is making me smile.
I'm so excited to get into it. Well, let's get into your story. You have an incredible American success story. It begins with a working class family. Your parents worked incredibly hard. How do those early experiences growing up in New York shape the woman and leader you've become today?
You know, one thing about my parents is they never really complained. They always believed that everything was achievable. They were strong believers in education. They really understood that education was going to be the passport for their children's future. And I just remember my mother had three sayings that I heard over and over and over again growing up. And one was, the only inheritance I have for you is an education. And so I knew, like, wow, if I wanted my future to be different than my present, that was going to be the path for me. I didn't have any innate talents other than my intelligence. I'm not athletic. I'm not artistic. I'm not creative. So I leaned into that. And she would say to us also, don't ever have a dollar in your pocket that you didn't earn. And anytime that I kind of was, you know, saying, gee, mom, this is really hard, or she would always say, if other people can do it, you can do it too.
I love that.
She believed, you know, she really believed that everything was obtainable for us. She really believed in the American dream.
And you achieved it because of that. And I think no complaining is so important because it just takes you into a victim point of view. And for people to really step into their power and to take responsibility for their lives, I think stop complaining. If that's all you get from this podcast, and we're still going to go through so much, is try not to complain for just 24 hours and see what opens up for you.
I think that is powerful. I mean, my mom always, like, she just did. So she had a lot of challenges. She never finished eighth grade. English was her second language, and she struggled. Spanish always remained her primary language. And we were growing up in a very, very difficult neighborhood. It came to be known as Drug City USA. It was the epicenter of the heroin epidemic of the 70s because it became the pickup point for drugs from the city into the suburbs. And so, you know, my mom didn't really talk about the circumstances. She just did. She just moved forward, did what needed to be done, and always came up with creative ways to resolve issues. Whether it meant that she would, I mean, my mom would literally take on like sewing things for other people, and sell them so that we would have money for back to school. She would crochet things and sell them so she would have money for Christmas. So she really strived to give us as much normalcy as possible. And she was very creative in figuring out ways to get there, given her limited circumstances, her limited education, her limited opportunities. But she never talked about herself as having limited opportunities.
She sounds like she was very resourceful and resilient. Were you raised by a single mom?
So I was raised with both parents. My parents had actually a very difficult marriage. Mm-hmm. So my mom, it was a turning point for her when she got a job in a sewing factory. And she wound up getting, ultimately, she wound up in a factory that was actually, that had a union that was under the union, and she had a living wage and she was able to hire an attorney. And that was a real pivotal moment for my brothers and I, because it allowed my mom to give us an environment that we were able to focus on our education. The four of us were born with the same like talent and lack of talent elsewhere.
And well, I don't think being like one of the smartest women in the history of like
into our intelligence and lean into education. I don't know. Are you okay? Are we back?
Yeah, we're back. What I was saying is I wouldn't say that you don't have many talents, because I think being one of the smartest lawyers to become a judge and the first Latino in the history of the Midwest, I mean, that's a really big deal. So I think we get to celebrate your intelligence and your fortitude and not say that you don't have any talents, because you are.
So it's funny, because if my brothers heard this, they would say the same thing. They're like, what do you mean I don't have a lot of talents? You know, because we've all been very fortunate that we've had very full lives. My oldest brother was a career police officer. He was very much into community theater and bringing community theater into some of the toughest parts of the city. And then my other two brothers are educators, and they're both very, very involved in the Boy Scouts. So we kind of all took what we had and made the most of it. For me, I always feel like my number one professional responsibility is to be an excellent judge. And my number two professional responsibility is to make sure that I leave a path so that other young people who perhaps are growing up in not the best circumstances, that feel like they're looking from the outside in, mm-hmm. that they don't lose hope, that they can be on the inside, that they can reach their goals, that they can, see a future that's different than their present. And I think that's really important, because we do come into these worlds with certain, I think, innate gifts. I'll move them off of the word talent into gifts. We're giving these gifts, and I do believe that we're brought into the world with everything we have for what it is that we're intended to do. It's our job to kind of find our way there. And it's not our job alone, because we wind up with people who help us along the way as well.
Yeah, well, there's a fan of the show who's a young attorney who has been in your court, and she will remain anonymous, but she says you are an excellent judge. So that's I know from firsthand information. So how did you end up growing up in Harlem and then being in Cincinnati, Ohio, and becoming a judge in the Ohio Supreme Court?
You know, when you grow up in those circumstances, you have dreams. Everybody has dreams. My dream was to get an education, to go to college, to move out of New York, and to own a house. I didn't like growing up in apartments, so I wanted, a house. And to me, that was a 3-bedroom, 1-bath you know, well, here is a starter home, but that was my dream home. That to me was like I had arrived. So my goal coming out of my undergraduate studies was to find my way outside of New York, and that brought me to work for Procter & Gamble. My degree at that point was computer science. I started with engineering, transitioned to computer science, and was an IT manager for Procter & Gamble. Had a wonderful career. P&G is a great place to be trained in the school of life and professional and also, you know, self-development. And it gave me a wonderful foundation, but it also brought me to Ohio. And I will tell you, Rebecca, I actually remember coming to interview and crossing the bridge and looking at Ohio and thinking like, oh, I want that to be my home. Like that was my dream. So for me, it's every day is an excellent day because I get to wake up in my dream place, in my adopted home. And you know what, Rebecca, it's been almost 39 years now that, wow, that Ohio adopted me and that I adopted Ohio. And I say Ohio adopted me because of the people. I think the people in Ohio are just so special.
Well, you and my husband, Ben, have that in common because he is also from New York City and he fell in love with Cincinnati, Ohio. And he convinced me to move here from LA about a year and a half ago. So he just thinks the people, they're so warm and welcoming and very high integrity people. So he agrees with you.
I mean, think about it. Like, you know, I'm going to go back to your introduction when you said she's the first person of Latino heritage to be elected to a court of appeals. The Court of Appeals sits directly below the Supreme Court. So it's a very high level court in the Midwestern region. Well, that includes Illinois. So this is how amazing Ohio is that I don't think, you know, I really don't believe I was elected because I'm Latino. I believe I was elected because people believed in me and they saw me for who I was and they saw me for what my worth was. And what a strong statement to say that here in Ohio, anybody can be successful. Anybody can be a contributor. Anybody can make their dreams come true. So I agree with Ben. I think Ohio is amazing. It's an amazing place to live, to work, to be your home. And I have such rich friendships and connections with people here that I just can't imagine that I would have anywhere else.
And I consider myself one of your new friendships. So I'm excited to go deeper with that. So when you first...
Like I said, you always make me smile. Every time I'm around you, something about you just makes me smile.
Oh, thank you. So did you go back to law school after you had already started with P&G?
Yeah, so being an attorney was my second career.
When you went back to law school?
So I was one of the, not as young as some of the other people. I was 29 years old. Mm-hmm. I left P&G. It was kind of risky, you know, like leaving the security of P&G. It's a big deal. But I was so passionate about being an attorney by then. I grew tired of hearing myself saying, someday I'm going to go to law school. And I finally said, you know, that same day is going to be today. I'm going to take the plunge and I'm going to do it. There was a moment in my life that really changed my trajectory. And that's when my mom did get away from her difficult marriage and I was going to court with her. And my perspective of attorneys really changed. And also my perspective of judges was formed through that experience because I was one of those people that thought that attorney's job was to help people that are guilty get off free. And I was like, I will never do that. That was a career that I was absolutely not interested in engaging in. But when I went to court and I saw the attorney standing next to my mom and advocating for my mom and providing a voice to my mom, I realized how important that function was, that job was to give my mother a voice to express what my mom needed to express with regard to the case, because the case was really, we were working towards protecting my youngest brother. I have a brother who's nearly 10 years younger than I. And then I realized that I really understood that the judge's job wasn't to lean one way or the other, but to really understand everything. So I knew that both sides were going to be presented. and that the judge in some way was like the truth finder at the trial level. And it really formed like the seriousness and the integrity that comes with being a judge. And I carried that with me as an attorney. And then I, you know, of course, carried that with me as a judge. And there's also a lot of integrity in being an attorney as well, because for me, it was always important as an attorney to be forthright and truthful with a client. I'm really proud that I never took a case for which there was no legal path. So rather than taking a case on and then later saying, oh, it was, you know, it was really difficult. It's one thing to take on a difficult case that there's a path and you share that honestly with your client and let them decide if they want to move forward. It's another thing to take on a case that there truly isn't a legal path, and to be, you know, charging a client for those services. And I that's something that I, you know, integrity, I think, is really important in the law, no matter what your function is. And that's something I really learned and took away from that experience. And also from my mom, you know, my mom and the values that she taught me.
Well, you are definitely a high integrity person, an empath, and a great listener. And these are all qualities that make you an incredible person and an incredible judge. We are going to cut to a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the importance of mentorship in your life. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast, and we'll be right back.
You know how two people can be the same age, but one just seems to have more energy, better sleep, and recover faster? That difference usually has less to do with their actual age and more to do with what's happening underneath the surface. That's why I'm so excited to share the True Age Test from True Diagnostic. It's an at-home test that looks at markers on your DNA using epigenetics to determine your biological age, not just how many birthdays you've had. What makes the True Age Test so interesting is that it doesn't just stop at a single age number. You get your biological age, your pace of aging, and a breakdown of how 11 key organ systems are aging, including your heart, your brain, your lungs, and your liver. You also get 75 plus longevity biomarkers translated into clear, easy to understand insights around things like metabolic health and immune function. So instead of just getting raw data, you actually get a more complete picture of how your body is functioning day to day. And here's the important part. They don't just give you data, they give you personalized recommendations based on your results. Things like sleep, nutrition, exercise, supplements, and lifestyle changes. So you have a clear roadmap for improving your health over time. The process itself is so simple. It's just an at-home finger prick. You send it back in the prepaid kit, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you get your full report online. So if you're serious about longevity or even just curious whether your body is aging faster or slower than your actual age, this is one of the easiest ways to find out. Right now, go to truediagnostic.com and use code BBA for 20% off your entire order. That's truediagnostic.com, code BBA for 20% off.
Welcome back, everyone. We are here with Judge Marilyn Zayas. She is the first Latino judge in the entire Midwest of either male or female. So she is a huge history maker. She's a story of resilience. So let's talk about the importance of mentorship. Who are the people who really believed in you, Marilyn, before you even believed in yourself?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the whole question.
Oh, I was saying, who are the mentors? Who are the people who believed in you before you even believed in yourself?
It's really funny because I think mentors, I feel like mentors are a little bit like guardian angels, but you're like guardian angels on earth, or like your angels that come in your path.
Yeah.
And some of the mentors that I've had were like advocates that would just give me like a moment, a statement that I needed. And sometimes I didn't even know I needed that statement. And one of those was, actually the person who was the janitor in the physics department in my undergraduate university. And he kind of knew that I was going through a difficult time because it was during the time that my mom was going to court a lot. And even though I never spoke about what was going on in my personal life, he would say to me, Marilyn, you know, you're going to graduate, stick with it. You can make it, you can make it. And that really, you know, helped me. And through life, you meet these people. And it's interesting because before I saw myself as a judge, I had other people who saw me as a judge, including a sitting judge by the name of Nadine Allen. And Nadine used to say to me, like, Marilyn, you're going to be an excellent judge someday. And I had this voice in my head that would say, who would vote for me? Until one day I realized that as an attorney, you have wonderful moments in courts and then you have disappointing moments. And those disappointing moments are not about winning or losing. They're about the process and about, you know, whether you feel that your client truly had a fair chance. And I realized, like, wow, if I want things to be better, it's a, you know, it's a moment to do, not to say. It's not a moment to be griping, but it's to do. And really almost overnight, I realized, like, yes, I can be a judge. Yes, I would be an excellent judge. And yes, I can do this. Even though I knew nothing about how to run an election and was not involved in any kind of political world before that, but I had faith. I could feel that this was a moment and that this can happen and that I would be able to bring true change and true impact through this journey. So for me, being a judge wasn't just about being a judge. It was really about changing some of the processes, some of the policies that my court had, that attorneys provided me a lot of feedback and insight into of their experiences. It was also about how you handle a case, about being thorough, about, you know, truly committing yourself to each case and understanding that each case is the most important thing that's going on for both sides of that case. And working really hard to get to the right answer. Because when we're at the Court of Appeals, we're reviewing cases that already occurred, where decision was already has already taken place. And it's our job to, most of the times what we're deciding is whether someone's entitled to a new fair trial. That is one of the most common things that we're doing in the Court of Appeals. And you can see how important that is, because obviously, you know, giving everyone a do-over, it has to be merited. You don't just give those out like you're giving out candy. But when a do-over is merited, then that's justice, because it's about fairness. So again, it's not about winning or losing. And when there's a do-over, everybody gets a do-over. So even in a criminal case, that means that the state, the prosecutor, can even bring in evidence that they didn't bring in the first time. It's a true do-over.
Mm-hmm. Now, when they get the do-over, does it stay in the state level, or does it go to the Supreme Court, go to the next level? You determine that.
Right. So at the Court of Appeals, if we say, like, look, this is such an unfair trial, there's been so many violations that there needs to be a new fair trial, then it goes back down to the trial court. Now, we can get appealed then to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will decide whether they'll take the case or not. But most of the times, most appeals begin and end at the level that I sit in. Very few appeals make their way to the actual Supreme Court, because most of the appeals decide if they're going to hear them or not. At my level, we hear every case that gets appealed under our jurisdiction. And when I say every case, it's like anything that you can think of that comes to a court, any kind of circumstance, whether it's a car accident, whether it's the custody of a child, whether it's someone that gets hired to remodel the kitchen, takes the money and then walks away, whether it's a murder case, you know, whatever it is that gets appealed, we're going to hear that appeal and we're going to decide whether there was, you know, any sort of injustice or something that needs to be corrected.
Have you ever had a female attorney stand in front of you and be like, oh my God, she's just like I was, like, before I became a judge? Like, she's saying all the things that I would say and has the mannerisms, like, really, like, relating to a young female attorney?
That's a great question. I oftentimes, both male and female, when I see young attorneys in front of me, it really reminds me of my younger self, especially when it's an attorney who's like a really strong advocate and they're being very thorough and they're being very passionate. It really reminds me of myself because I knew like when I came to court, that was my client's opportunity and I needed to make sure that I did the best that I could. So I love it when I see an attorney that's doing the very best that they could for their client. I just love that. But, but having said that, there is a young woman that came to my court a few months ago as a student. Every once in a while, we have students that come. And this was a student from Case Western who came under a legal clinic. She was in the third year of law school. And I was so proud of her because she did such an amazing job. She was, and her professor was there, and she's under what's called a limited license that allows her to do some attorney work as a third year law student. She did an amazing job. Afterwards, all of the judges stepped down and spoke to her for a while. And then I waited until after the case was released, and we've actually kept in touch. So she's someone that I'm currently in touch with. She's studying for the bar. I'll call her up and I'll give her like inspirational moments, like, you can do this, you got everything that you need. And she always says, like, you always give me what I need at the moment. So it was something about her that made me so prideful of seeing this young woman do something that required such courage that I don't know that I would have had that courage when I was a third year law student to come to a court of appeals and do a full argument.
Yeah, that is great. Well, it sounds like you love mentoring as well as you've had mentors, and you actually started a program called Educating Tomorrow's Leaders. And this program has introduced hundreds of students to the legal system. Why is mentorship such an important part of the legacy you're going to leave?
You know, mentorship is part of the passing of the baton. Mm. You know, at some point, there will, no longer be a Judge Marilyn Zayas. She'll be retired or she'll be, and we need to make sure that the next generation, that they're ready. We always say that our young people are our future. I think it's important to not only say it, but to live it. Mm. And it's also a way for me to acknowledge that there are people that put those bricks on the path before I came along that allowed me to then walk on that path. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to continue to build those bricks and to continue to build that path. Because there are children that are growing up in difficult circumstances. And I always say there's children in all neighborhoods, whether it's the wealthiest neighborhood or the most economically challenged neighborhood, there are children that are growing up with different sort of challenging circumstances in their home life, challenging circumstances in their environment. And everyone really deserves the opportunity to succeed and to fulfill what it is that God had for them. So when I started the Educating Tomorrow's Leaders, while it is focused on the legal system and teaches young people about the courts in Ohio and about different career paths, it's not necessarily just for students that see themselves in the legal field. And I'm proud to say that hosting over 2,000 students has been a great impact. And some of those students, I get to see them and they wind up actually going to the legal field, even though they had not seen that for themselves before engaging in the program.
Now, is it a program for high school students, college students, people in law school? Like, how do you find the young leaders?
So it's all of the above. It's for all of the above. And each group, the program, there's some components that I always use, but then there's also components that we pull in depending on the group that we're engaging with. Oftentimes the program is through my court, but sometimes it's on site in schools as well. So depending also on where the forum is going to it's going to change the program a little bit. But one piece that I always like to include is I provide the students an opportunity to wear my robe. And that way they can see themselves in the robe. And this is a picture of my actual court behind me. The middle chair, as you can see there, is where the judge that kind of is running the court sits. I'm normally there because I'm the one that's the most senior in my court. So that when they come to the court, not only do they get to wear the robe, they get to sit in that chair. And they get to, you know, take a picture, and there's some buttons that have to do with the timers. They get to do the buttons, and, you know, they could do whatever they want, because I really want them to envision themselves, whether it's on the bench or envision themselves in the future into whatever it is. My goal is for the students not to see me as special. I don't want the students to think like, oh, these jobs are for particular people of certain backgrounds who are just spectacular people and grew up with the most perfect families. I want them to see me as a human being who has had my own challenges and has worked hard and has gotten some lucky breaks and has met some wonderful people along the way, and that they too, that their life can unfold very similarly. But it has to really begin with self. It has to begin with self movement and purpose. And, you know, and actualization, not maybe full actualization, but at least actualization of saying, yes, I can. And then moving forward with that spirit of, yes, I can. And then people will join you along the way.
I think it's so generous to share your bench and to share your court and to share your robe with these young mentees. And it also shows me that you understand the law of attraction, that they have to embody it and visualize themselves in a court, whether as a judge or as an attorney, to be able to even take the first step toward that path. So do you believe in visualization and embodying what you want to be before you become it?
I believe that you have to believe it. And visualization is part of it, but you have to really believe it. You have to believe that it's yours. Regardless of what anyone else says, of whatever the messaging is. So it's like, you know, it's like I shared earlier, and I share that because I think it's important to be honest. I had that voice that said, who would vote for me? Who would vote for me? The minute I was able to move past that voice, I immediately saw myself as a judge. I knew like what it would feel like, what I would be like. So it wasn't just visualizing myself. Like, I understood who I would be as a judge and what it meant to be a judge. And the one thing that has been a truism and a consistency is I've always seen a judge as being someone with integrity and someone who acts very independently. And when I say independently, I mean that they're not being guided or influenced by anything that's outside of the courtroom and outside of the case. So that was what I knew coming in. And that's one thing that hasn't changed in the 10 years that I have served as a judge, and that I know that will never change, because that's just, you know, that's who I am and what I genuinely believe and must be as a judge.
Well, that is a really good point. So you really embodied it. You didn't just visualize it. You're like, I am a judge. It's who I am. I love being fair. I love finding something that maybe not everybody can see and seeing the truth. We are going to cut to another quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about high achieving women who struggle with imposter syndrome. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick break. What if your dream retreat really existed and you got to help create it? If you're a high-achieving woman who's been doing all the things, I need your help. I'm planning my next luxury wellness retreat, and I don't want to create what I think women want. I want to create what you actually dream about. Tell me, what's your dream destination? What activities would light you up? What feels like the perfect investment, and how many days would help you truly reset and realign? Think wellness, connection, community, adventure, luxury, rest, and whatever feels nourishing to you. If you've been craving success without burnout, this retreat is being designed with women just like you in mind. Take my 2-minute survey. It's linked in the show notes. And who knows, your dream retreat might just become a reality. Do you feel like your love life is stagnating? Have you been single forever and feel like giving up on love? Or maybe you're in a relationship that's lost its magic. I want to give back to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant community with a complimentary 15-minute romantic reset call. It's a space to reconnect, reset, and recalibrate your energy around love. Together, we'll uncover what may be blocking connection and create a fresh spark so that you can feel more open, aligned, and ignited in your love life. Because love isn't about forcing or chasing. It's about creating space and becoming magnetic to the connection you truly desire. Get the details and book your complimentary reset call in the show notes. Welcome back, everyone, to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. I am talking to Judge Marilyn Zayas of the, is it the First Appellate Court of Ohio? Is that how you say it?
So it's the First District Court of Appeals, or you could just say Ohio's Court of Appeals.
Of Ohio's Court of Appeals. Marilyn, many high-achieving women struggle with imposter syndrome. Even after all you've accomplished, have you ever questioned whether you belong, and how do you move through those moments where you feel imposter syndrome, if you ever feel it?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, like, look, you know, again, who would vote for me? I certainly had imposter syndrome at that moment. And we all have, I mean, I don't think that we ever move through life never having a doubt in ourselves. That's just not really true. So one thing that has really helped me is recognizing when those moments happen, that what that really means is that I'm human.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean that I am, you know, subordinate, or that I'm in, you know, incompetent, or that there's something broken or something wrong with me. It just means that I'm human. And that's really helped me, because then the next step after that is recognizing that, yeah, you know, all of us feel this way at some point or another. And there's nothing wrong with me. And then, you know, when it's, and usually that might be enough, but there are times that things, you know, maybe there's a lot going on in life, a lot, you know, a lot of things being thrown at you at the same time. Those moments, ultimately, I reach into myself and I reflect on what I've already accomplished,
yeah,
and the challenges that I have faced, and how I've been able to overcome those challenges. And then I, you know, and then I recognize, like, you've done it before, Marilyn, you can do it again.
I like that, because when we doubt ourselves, it's like, no, God didn't bring us this far to drop us on our head. And we've already overcome so many difficult circumstances, and we've made it through this far.
Yes.
I think it's good to look back and say, look, I have done this before and I can do it again.
Yes.
And whether that's career, relationship, anything, you know, if you're listening to the show, you have already made it through difficult circumstances. Yes. You can do this.
And so, I think with age comes wisdom.
Yes.
You know, when I was younger and I had those difficult moments, I would, you know, eat a pint of Haagen-Dazs or ice cream, and, you know, and maybe go to bed early and then wake up the next morning and say, okay, now what am I going to do? You know, now I, you know, I usually exercise, or go for a walk, maybe sit still for a moment, maybe call up a friend, you know, spend some time with someone I care about, and use that as time to kind of regroup, and then to be like, okay, now what are you going to do about it? So, you know, we come up with, like, I think as time goes on, we come up with alternative ways to give ourselves that pause, that sometimes, because sometimes it is a lot coming at us and we do need a pause before we can get into the mode of, like, okay, now it's time to buckle up and move forward. And that's okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, at some point in life, you might need a pint of Haagen-Dazs to get through a difficult circumstances, and then you evolve, and now it's a walk in nature. So yes, we're always changing, and as we change, our coping mechanisms change as well.
Absolutely.
So as the first Latina to be elected to the state of the Court of Appeals in the Midwest. Did you ever feel pressure for being the first? And how do you carry that responsibility while staying authentic?
You know, it's interesting because it brings me back to right after the election. And there's a ceremony called the investiture. And the day of the investiture, there was a community leader that came from Chicago. And there were people that came from out of state. They wanted to be part of the investiture. And this gentleman, his name is Henry. And Henry said to me, you know, Marilyn, I want you to really be recognized that because you're the first, people are going to be water. Are you able to hear me?
I heard it cut out a little bit. It said, Henry said, because you're the first, and then it cut out. Yeah.
Yeah. So he said to me, keep in mind that people are going to be watching to see how you do it.
Yes.
And I kind of knew that, but it made me like, it forced me to absolutely recognize that every moment I need to always make sure that I'm moving in with excellence and that I'm being very aware of, you know, not so much my image, but how I do things, how I approach people, how I approach cases, how I approach the seriousness of this responsibility that people trusted me with, which is, and the next step after that was, it was really within a week of that, that I was inspired to do the Educating Tomorrow's Leaders program. So that conversation became the catalyst of me saying, oh, golly, I never saw myself doing this when I was growing up. Well, how many other little Marilyns or Michaels or whatever are out there who, you know, also are not seeing their fullness growing up and perhaps perceiving that they have limitations? And that was the catalyst for the Educating Tomorrow's Leaders.
That's a beautiful story. And let's talk about your mother again, because I feel like integrity is such a theme for you.
It is.
And your mother taught you that your word is everything. How has that lesson, and this is one of my favorite books, is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And one of the four agreements is to be impeccable with your word. So I'm with you on that one, Marilyn. How has that lesson of being your word and that your word is everything influenced your leadership style, both on and off the bench?
It's something that has impacted my entire life, from childhood all the way to now. It's really the core of who I am. I remember thinking as an attorney, and you know, this is going to sound a little extreme, but this is what I would think, that for me to breach my responsibilities and the integrity of what I must do as an attorney, of, you know, the honesty and the, you know, the honesty along with the advocacy of my clients, that if I was given the option to breach that or to have my hand cut off, that without hesitation, I would say cut off my hand. Wow. Because it actually feels more painful to me to go against the grain of who I am and to breach the integrity. So as a judge, I would tell you, I have two staff attorneys that work for me. And one of the staff attorneys that works for me, she's been with me since day one. And she says to me, you know, Judge, you're the only judge that I can ever work for. And when I asked her, the first time she said that to me, I said, why is that? And she says, because you never tell me what the outcome of the case should be.
Mm.
You always work towards looking at what happened, looking at the law, using common sense, you know, and getting to the right answer based on that, but not based on your own personal, you know, beliefs or anything or what's popular, you know, let's try to get to this being the outcome. And so she says to me, I'm really proud that that's who you are as a judge. And because of that, she actually had an opportunity to work at the Supreme Court. And she was like, I'm not interested in the job because you're the only judge I could ever work for.
Wow, that's a big compliment. Well, speaking of the Supreme Court, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to ask you this, is that your ultimate dream to serve on the Supreme Court?
Well, it's my ultimate goal to serve on the Supreme Court. And the reason I changed dream to goal is because it's really not based in what is it that Marilyn would like to do. It's based in what I believe is needed. And at a time where people are losing faith in the courts, where there's so much division in a state that I love so much, where the independence of the courts is the most important thing. It's the one thing that we have to protect and honor. That's what drives me into that being a goal.
Well, I hope you, and I know you will make it that far because your heart is just in the right place and you are all about being fair. And I love your integrity. And to me, character and integrity is what you do when nobody's looking. It's just who you are. And that's who you are to me. So now it's time for a fun part of the show called Fire Questions. Are you ready?
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Okay. Morning person or night owl?
More of a night owl, I would say.
Okay.
It's changed a little bit as I gotten older. It's a little bit more balanced, but still I would say night owl.
Coffee or tea?
Tea is something I do more regular, but I actually enjoy the taste of coffee more.
Okay.
So tea out of habit, but coffee out of taste, if that makes any sense.
But you're a tea drinker. You drink tea every morning when you wake up?
I drink water more than anything, but I drink tea more often than coffee. Yeah.
A book that changed your life.
Oh my gosh. That one's a little bit tougher. A book that changed my life. I mean, I would say a book that really touched me was Sonia Sotomayor's biography book.
Mm, what about it?
It touched me because it was very authentic. Like she was willing to put in writing some of the more difficult and not so pretty parts of her childhood and her background. And that resonated with me because it felt like she wanted people to, again, see her for who she is and that she truly wanted to inspire people and not for people to think like, oh, must be really special. So it really touched me that she was willing to be that authentic in writing and to leave that legacy.
Just like you. What is the best advice your mother ever gave you?
If other people can do it, you can do it too.
Yeah.
That was really, I think, the best advice that she ever gave me. Because she used it as a way of like, you know, don't gripe, don't complain. Just, that was her way of saying, just do. If other people can do it, then you can do it too.
One word that defines your leadership style.
I would say consistency.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
A daily habit you'll never skip.
Oh, I really love exercise.
And, great. You
know, I may not do it every day, but nearly every day. I really love whether it's stretching, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's elliptical. I love movement, and once I incorporated that, it's a really important part of my routine.
And with working so many hours as a judge and in court, when do you find time to exercise? Is it first thing in the morning, in the evening? When do you do it?
Typically, first thing in the morning. But if I can't do it in the morning, then in the evening. And sometimes I'll do it like right after dinner or just before dinner. I'll try to squeeze it in somehow.
That is great. Finish this sentence. Success is
what you define it to be.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
success.
That.
Success is not a one size fits all. It's what you define it to be. And I think that's really important because there's so many different roles and responsibilities that people take on in life. And they may look very different than what my path is, but they're just as valuable. And I think it's important to honor that there are different roles and they're all valuable and they all are contributing to society and making life better, whether it's life better for their family, whether it's life better for the community. But if you know, if you make life better for your family, you're ultimately making life better for the community as well.
I love that. And final question, Marilyn, finish this sentence. The world would be a better place if everyone blank. Did you hear me or did I cut out? The world would be a better place if everyone...
Oh, the world would be a better place.
Yes, because I know you've seen the...
I think the world would be a better place. The world would be a better place if everyone sought to understand others. Mm. And, you know, and it's something that we all strive for. We never hit perfection on that. But if we truly seek to listen and understand... And don't assume that we know everything and have the right answers all the time. I think the world would be a better place because it would then be more inclusive in a human to human way.
I love that answer. So Marilyn, how can people stay in touch with you? Where can they find you? And what is up for you these days?
Well, I'm easy to find. My website is like my name. It's judgemarilynzayas.com. So it couldn't be any easier in that way. And if somebody wants to reach out to me, there's a way to contact me and send me an email through the website. My information is also public. You're welcome to call me at the court. Like if you're an educator and you want to engage with the Educating Tomorrow's Leaders program, I welcome hearing from you. I do go throughout the state, so it's not just in my region. I have brought the program to Youngstown, to Cleveland, to different parts of the state, to Butler County, to Claremont County. So I'm happy to bring it wherever students might be. That an educator believes that they can benefit from it. Right now I am moving forward and being one of those people that are saying, you know, it's time to get off of the sidelines. It's really time to make things better for all of us. And so I am running for the Ohio Supreme Court and I'm on the ballot this fall throughout the state of Ohio for the Ohio Supreme Court. And it's very exciting. It's very challenging, but it's also very accessible because at the end of the day, I believe in people and I believe in this state. That's what, you know, has made this my home for 39 years. This is where I raised my kids. And I just can't imagine being anywhere else. And I just love Ohio. I truly, truly love Ohio.
Well, thank you so much, Judge Marilyn Zayas, for being a guest on the show. You brought so much value and you're just such an authentic, high integrity person. And I know you are truly of service to the state of Ohio and hopefully the nation one day. And thank you everyone for listening and going on the journey with me that you can achieve success through alignment, not the hustle and grind. Please share this show with a friend. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone. So excited to share a review from Melissa Myers, the Glow Girl. She says, inspiring podcast. Rebecca has a gift for creating meaningful, empowering conversations that leave you feeling inspired and uplifted. Balanced, Beautiful, Abundant is like sitting down with a wise, soulful friend who truly wants you to thrive in every area of your life. I love how she blends practical advice with spiritual insights. I'm so grateful I found it. Well, Melissa, we're so grateful that you found us and we can't wait to find out how you are glowing and growing by using this podcast as a tool. And everybody who's listening and sharing, thank you so much for your support. And it's such a joy to be on this journey with you.